Pastor's Heart, and Dominic Steele. And our guest today, a friend of the Pastor's Heart, Archbishop James Wong of the Indian Ocean. We are talking today the extraordinary exponential growth of the church in the Indian Ocean, just off the northeast coast of Africa, and how to ride that wave of the Holy Spirit. Plus, an update from James on the issues of the Anglican Communion. He serves as the Anglican Primate of the Indian Ocean and is an advisor to the Anglican GAFCON Primates Council, and also the Council of Leaders. He's involved in that, of the influential Global South Fellowship. This fortnight, James is speaking in all the Australian capital cities at the Church Missionary Society Summer School Conferences. He's been a regular guest of ours, but the first time he's been with us in person in Australia. James, let's just start with the news out of Mauritius today, because I take it your pastor's heart, the concern about this wild cyclone, and you were just showing me your social media feed, which is just full of devastation.
Thank you for having me with you on the show. And as we were praying last night, we received information about the cyclone Bilal hitting Mauritius dangerously. And from what I have been hearing, there is already a lot of casualties. One person at least died. A lot of flash flooding all around the island, and causing a lot of despair in the population in Mauritius.
I'm taking it, I mean, just looking at those photos, there's a lot of individuals affected. Have you heard word yet of any of your ministries being affected?
We have not yet really received information from the church leadership, but friends has already been sending me videos and pictures. And this morning I saw also a beautiful prayer by an Anglican young clergy posting a prayer for Mauritius.
Well, why not, before we get down to business, do you want to just lead in prayer for
Mauritius?
Yes,
please. Yeah. Thank you. God, our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your blessing, for your precious help, and especially for your provisions in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Mauritius being hit by Cyclone Bilal. Lord, we pray for provision to be administered to the people in Mauritius. We pray for your help. We pray for guidance in the leadership of a nation there. Lord, that all the decisions will be granted so that the people of Mauritius could have a good time of transition after the cyclone Bilal. Lord, we pray that all the victims will receive precious helps from the government and also from the church. And we pray, Lord, for good vision for the future in Mauritius. Especially today, we pray for the Bishop of Mauritius, our brother, Bishop Seigneur André. We pray for members of the clergy as they come to the rescue to the people who are victims of a cyclone. We pray for all the Christians ministering in this difficult context. And we pray that the whole nation of Mauritius will experience the goodwill and help of God. Bless the people of Mauritius and provide always to their needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, James, I wonder if we could start with that explosive growth, that exponential explosive growth that we saw in the church in Madagascar in the decade from 1990, and 100,000 to 500,000 people. And what was it like to be there and watch the Holy Spirit do His work?
Well, I think the 1990 decision to decree the decade of evangelism in the Indian Ocean and within the Anglican Communion helped in growing the church in Madagascar, Mauritius, and Seychelles. And we have seen the growth of the church, and we moved from 3 dioceses to 6 following the decade of evangelism. And with the same spirit of prioritizing mission and evangelism. The church in the Indian Ocean, we have decided that as from 2024 and for the 10 years to come, we will be prioritizing again mission and evangelism within the province. And our aim is the creation of at least 3 more dioceses in Madagascar. So we are praying and we are ministering, we are evangelizing in view of the creation of 3 more dioceses by 2034.
I love hearing of that mindset of planning for growth. Mm. And I mean, you've both seen enormous growth as a junior leader. And actually, even more recently, we were talking to Bertie Alamer, and he was telling us about an explosion of growth much more recently.
Mm. Lately, we have seen the growth, especially, I think, all around Madagascar, but especially in the southern region of Madagascar, hit by a big season of drought and also a season of cyclones. We had a severe drought, famine. And then in 1 month, we had 4 cyclones devastating the region of Madagascar. And since then, the church was trying to help. And we look for friends, partners to help in the context of severe droughts and cyclones we had. And from Australia, the church in Sydney has been very grateful to help us. And we have been able to care for the needs of the people in Madagascar. And from the help we received, we were able to give food on an everyday basis to the people hit by the cyclones and the drought. And we were able also to bring water, fresh water, nearer to the villagers. With the money we have received, we were able to drill new wells. We were able to drill boreholes to get water nearer to the villagers. And at the same time, we were also giving seeds to be sown so that in this context of famine, this context of drought and cyclone, the people were able to sow their seeds. And just after some time, I had a pastoral visit there, and I was so happy to see the harvest. Some months ago, it was drought and cyclone, and I was so happy to be able to see with my own eyes these new wells, these new boreholes, and these new the harvest coming, and it was a blessing. And the impact of precious help we received from the Christians in Sydney has produced a miracle in many ways. The people were restored in their human dignity. They were able to contribute to their own needs. And at the same time, they were querying about the love. Why would people from Sydney send the donations to them? So there was a dialogue between these people and the church in Madagascar. And out of this dialogue with the people receiving the precious help from the Christian of Sydney, the Anglicans especially. So a lot of people from the dialogue, the conversation, came to encounter the presence of Jesus in the love manifested from their brothers and sisters from Australia, Sydney, the diocese especially. And so this encounter produced a spiritual need and desire to know more about the love of this God who has been a blessing through their brothers and sisters of the diocese of Sydney. And many of them chose to give their lives to Jesus and to daily walk with him. So we had also then ministry of pastoral ministry to these people. And we had over 5,000 new converts from despair and doubt to hope. And they came to Jesus and they were baptized. And very soon, these people are going also to be confirmed. So I have made a proposal to the bishop there. If you need any help for the confirmation, just send an SOS and I will be coming to help in the confirmation of these new Christians.
That's great. And we just want to acknowledge that was mostly funneled through the Anglican Aid Ministry.
Yes. Anglican Aid has been very helpful in the Indian Ocean in many ways, not only this type of help, but also in financing theological education and in taking decisions to be present on the ground and to be able to help grow the church in Madagascar, mainly Madagascar, but also in Seychelles and in Mauritius.
Mm. Now, I mean, 5,000 new people, three new dioceses. You're obviously doing infrastructure planning about, well, not just church buildings, but staffing and ministry training and that kind of thing. Just give us the sense of that for a moment.
We have also been working very closely with CMS Australia. And one of the reasons I'm here in Australia is to participate in the summer schools of CMS Australia. And CMS has already sent a missionary family in the Seychelles, Ryan, Lynn, and their children, Alicia, John, and Imogen, are already in the Seychelles, helping the church there to grow quicker. And on the 26th of this month, Adam and his wife and the children as well are flying to Madagascar. So meaning that the partnership with CMS Australia is moving in a good direction. And my coming to Australia to help in the motivation of missionaries to come further to help in the mission lands. This is a privilege to be able to be here. But there is a growth. And lately in the province, Dominic, we have been creating a new structure, which is the Grassroots Theological Education Commission. And the Grassroots Theological Education is a commission created to move towards the training of laity, mainly as evangelists and catechists, so that these people, lay people, will be trained and empowered and be sent during the decade of evangelism to reach the grassroots people. And in this context, Madagascar is foreseeing the creation of three more dioceses. Mauritius has planned through this structure to create around 100 house church within Mauritius. And Seychelles, we have been praying for the creation of about 25 house church, one in each district of the Seychelles.
Mm. I was just thinking back to when you started, we were just talking about that decade of evangelism from the Anglican Communion from back in 1990. And that moment really is actually the Anglican Communion at its best.
Definitely. Because we had in our heart the desire to see the whole world for Jesus, the whole world coming to faith and believing that our God not only is an awesome God, but the God bringing salvation to mankind.
Mm.
You know? And as we talk about salvation and redemption, it was no longer a field or a theme reserved for the Christians. We were called through the decade of evangelism to go out and to make disciples of all nations.
Hmm.
And so this is why we are now trying to
restart. Do it again.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is exciting to see that great work of the communion coming together, of supporting that work in the Indian Ocean. And I take it, in contrast, it must make you despair of some of the things going on in the Anglican Communion globally at the moment.
There is despair, yes, but I think out of despair, we have to transform the despair into opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is past is past, is gone, and we need to be able to look ahead in hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so, and you've been planning for that. Both we've got the Global South Primates meeting that you were part of in Cairo a couple of months ago, and the GAFCON Primates meeting in London a month or so ago, just before Christmas. Let's do Global South first. What's happening there, and what are they going to be doing these next few months? What are you going to be doing these next few months?
Global South is going to have the assembly soon in Cairo. We don't know where yet, but Archbishop Sami is working on the place where we are going to have the assembly, where all the churches, the provinces of Global South will be sending representative for the assembly. And it's going to be, I'm sure, a blessed time for all the leaders to come together and to think about the future of the Anglican Communion. And at the same time, there will be the renewal of the office bearers of the Global South Anglican Fellowship. So we will see the renewal of the office bearers. We will see a new primate council, a new steering com for Global South. People like me, we will soon be retiring, and we are hoping to have a new generation of primates coming up, and to see that we will be passing the baton to the next generation to keep on the good fight within the Global South Fellowship. So, very much looking forward for this meeting in Cairo, and at the same time, during this meeting, the GAFCON primates also are invited to come and to participate in the assembly. Already, this is a sign of Global South and GAFCON primates coming together. You know, and I think in the next meeting of GAFCON in Jerusalem, also there will be the primates from the Global South participating.
Mm-hmm.
In our last meeting in Cairo, Global South organized an Anglican Orthodox meeting, the leaders of his Orthodox grouping. And it was good to see primates from Global South, primates from GAFCON, but also primates like the chair of CAPA, the Council of Anglican Provinces of Africa, the Most Reverend Albert Chama, who was present, bringing with him the spirit of Africa, the Anglican in Africa. We are all Orthodox churches in Africa, and he came and participated with the other Anglican Orthodox leadership. We had people also from Europe who came representing the Anglican evangelical who came to this meeting, and we were able to share the pains and the joys of being an Anglican. And at the end, I think what is very encouraging was the possible creation of a committee made with some leaders of the GAFCON and some leaders of the Global South and also I think representative from the Anglican Orthodox in other regions of the world to come together and to start bringing our thoughts together about how do we continue to be the Anglican Communion. So I'm hoping that this committee is going to be launched soon, and definitely as from the assembly, the work is going to be started, and then maybe during the meeting of, I'm just thinking aloud, when we are going to have a meeting of GAFCON, to have a report of this working committee about the future of the communion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's, if you like, the slow, detailed negotiation needs to happen. So, I mean, in a sense, both with the Global South Ash Wednesday statement and the Kigali communique, we saw the Canterbury's gone, no hope. We need to manage it ourselves. But then, actually, there's a lot of negotiating got to go on.
That's right.
On the
that's
detail right. of what that's going right. to look
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the coming together is going to be crucial for the future of the Anglican Communion. You know, as you are aware, the Global South and GAFCON, we have never left the Anglican Communion.
No.
We are the Anglican Communion.
Yeah.
And those who have departed from the faith once received, they are the one who has left. And nobody asked them to leave, but they decided with their structures to go in an opposition to what the Anglican Communion is all about, especially the position of the Bible, which is central to Anglicans, the interpretation of the Gospel and the Bible. And so those who have departed, we are still encouraging them to repent and to come back within the structure of the Anglican Communion, with our doctrines, with the position of the Bible. And it would be great as we continue our journey in Orthodoxy, in Anglican Orthodoxy, to be able to welcome back also our brothers and sisters who have departed from the faith. So this is our prayer, that God is going to work positively in the spirit of the leaders of the whole Anglican Communion.
Now, when I was talking with you and others back in Kigali last year, I think you were saying this meeting in June in Cairo was actually going to be really crucial.
It is.
And how now, a few months down the track and a few months before Cairo, how important do you think that meeting is in June?
I think definitely we're coming together, because during the assembly, we will also be receiving leaders of the GAFCON movement, and other Orthodox leadership also will be invited to participate in the our assembly as guests. And so whatever decision the assembly is going to take, the decisions to move on together definitely will be one of the priority of the assembly's decision. So I'm hoping that the main decision of the assembly not only will be the creation of the office bearers, the new office bearers of the the Global South, but we will see also the decision of how to move forward as the Anglican Communion.
Now, I noticed that no sooner had you announced this big meeting in June in Cairo that Archbishop Welby announced a meeting of primates 1 month before in Rome. And what do you think is going to happen there? I mean, it seems to me like next to no one's going to go.
Both GAFCON and the Global South have decided not to go to this meeting in Rome. And it will be sad. A very sad time for the communion, because it is the sign that we are not functioning in unity. And we are not working together as we should be working together. We should be able to walk together and to work together, but this is not the case. You know, we were all saddened by the decision of the General Synod of the Church of England. You know, and so with our the Ash Wednesday statement and the decision of the Archbishop of Canterbury to vote in favor of the blessing of same-sex couples, I think he has been guiding the Church of England in the wrong direction. So we can't accept to be invited by the Archbishop of Canterbury to attend a primates meeting as he has been himself being guiding other primates and other leaders in England to go against the Bible teachings.
Yeah. Have you spoken to him in the last 6 months?
No, but I have been able to speak to the General Secretary of the Anglican Communion Office, Bishop Anthony Pogo. We've been able to share on the primates meeting, and I have asked the General Secretary to offer our apologies, my apologies for not being able to attend the primates meeting in Rome. And I have made proposal, if the Archbishop of Canterbury would like to see the participation of other primates, the primates of GAFCON and Global South, what would be, according to me, the decision to be taken? And up till now, I have seen no change in the attitude and in the decisions of the Anglican Communion and of the Archbishop of Canterbury. So this is...
So you said he would need to repent and then we would come.
Not only will he need to repent, but also as we are no longer recognizing the Archbishop of Canterbury as the first among equals, the presiding Archbishop. And so... It is difficult to respond to his invitation. But if...
There's two issues, really. There's colonialism, there's sin and colonialism.
Yeah, that's right. But if my proposal was, if there would be a co-president of this primates meeting, not only the Archbishop of Canterbury, but the invitation would come with a joint sort of primate inviting to the primates meeting, then for the sake of coming together and thinking about the future of the communion, it would have been a good way to have two hosts instead of one. Now, the Archbishop of Canterbury is hosting the meeting. If he would have a co-host instead of him alone, either to have the chair of GAFCON or the chair of the Global South to co-invite the other primates to come, then it would have been different. But as it is now, he has not provided this opportunity. And this means that over 85% of the Anglican population will not be present at this primate meeting.
So, I mean, really, the emperor's got no clothes at this point.
Yeah.
Or no ecclesiastical robes. It's a sad day.
It is indeed. But I hope this can go now in a better direction.
Yeah, I mean, the promise of actually people who believe in Jesus, who want to obey him, who trust him, actually doing something together. And, I mean, out of the ashes of the crisis, something good is going to come.
Definitely. But already, you know, I can't really understand the decision of the Archbishop of Canterbury. When the General Synod came and voted in favor of the blessing, he himself, prior to the vote, said that this decision is going to create difficult situations in the communion. He himself shared that this will create persecution within the communion. And then he voted himself in favor of the coming persecution of the Anglican communion members. You know, so this is a bit sad within his decision. But now, in the last General Synod meeting, the proposer of the prayers of blessing, he chose to abstain from voting. So either you vote in favor of the blessing and you support the prayers, or you don't vote and you don't support the prayers. But you can't vote in favor of the blessing and not supporting the blessings, the prayer of blessings.
I mean, when we spoke last in Kigali last year, you accused him of being two-faced.
Yeah, but again, we see this attitude. How can you vote in favor of the blessing? And when the people from the liturgical commission will come with prayers, you should be able to confirm your vote of a blessing in adopting the liturgy proposed for the blessing of a same-sex couple. But you can't vote in favor of a blessing, and when the proposed liturgy comes, you choose to abstain from voting, saying that it's going to be very harmful to the communion. But you already said yourself, prior to the vote, that this is going to create problems.
Yeah.
But you voted in favor.
Yeah. So as chair of the communion, he said, here's this thing that will be harming the communion, and I'm supportive of it.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thanks for coming in. And pray, when we want to pray for you.
Thank you so much, Dominic. Thank you for having me
I pray for you now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these leaders, the leaders of GAFCON and the leaders of the Global South, and the way that they are standing up for faithfulness in Christ Jesus. And we pray that we might see come through this the resetting of the Anglican Communion as a mission-driven organization that honors Jesus Christ and walks in obedience to him. And we pray that ripples from this resetting might be many, many, many men and women across the world coming to a saving trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray particularly for the Indian Ocean and the expansion plans there to reach more and more men and women and boys and girls for Jesus. And that under James' leadership and in our day, we might see a change and see more and more. We might see revival in that land. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. James Wong has been my guest. He's the Archbishop, the Primate of the Indian Ocean in the Anglican Communion. He serves as an advisor on the GAFCON Primates Council and is also involved in the Council of Leaders of the Global South Fellowship of Worldwide Anglicanism. You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart, and we will look forward to your company next Tuesday afternoon. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.